Buck, up next, we're speaking to Kirsty Haslam, who is the managing director at DSC Attorneys. And we're talking about, in essence, police conduct, because I think this is something of serious concern to people. As you would have noticed, as of late, we've seen a whole bunch of videos doing the rounds on our social media of really ugly incidents that have occurred, you know, in recent history, where, for example, there was an incident where we see this policeman and this lady's top is, you know, lifted up, you know, up to her bra and, I mean, you know, above her bra. And, you know, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on and it really just doesn't look good. And then there's another one from, I believe it was in Waterfall or something to that effect, where there was a situation where this policeman is literally assaulting the living daylights out of this man and putting him in the back of the van. And those videos are essential. And I remember many, many years ago, you know, in Melville, and the police raided, people pulled out their cell phone cameras and, you know, a bunch of burly cops told people to put away their cell phones. So basically trying to understand what is allowed and what is not allowed when it comes to the conduct of police, especially now that we're going into an Easter long weekend. Kirsty, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
I mean, just quite blatantly, as you heard in the introduction there, I mentioned a couple of incidents that we've seen involving police doing the rounds on the social media. And then one does wonder at times whether you are in a position to say to, I don't know, if I get pulled over on my way home, you know, a little later on this evening, say, to, you know, after 10 o'clock, if a policeman pulls me over and I say, listen, I just for the sake of, you know, evidence or whatever, I'd like to video this conversation. Am I allowed to do that?
Yes, you are absolutely allowed to do that. There's no question about that. The distribution of it on social media is a different question. But yes, you are allowed to record that.
Oh, is it? And what is the concern around the distribution of it on the social media? Because again, I think that, I mean, from my personal perspective or personal opinion, the nice thing is that it exposes what the conduct of police might be. I mean, there's a viral video going around at the moment of a policeman busy, Fallwater is the place called, busy beating the living daylights out of someone and shoving them in the back of a police van. And I mean, this person is clearly defenseless, is not posing any form of resistance, and is getting horribly beaten by this policeman. And we wouldn't necessarily have known about it if it weren't for the fact that it was shared on social media.
I agree, and social media is such a powerful tool to expose things like that, but as with most things, there is a right and wrong way to do certain things. And if you just out of hand expose things on social media, you might find yourself inadvertently exposed to criminal prosecution on other grounds. So what I would advocate is if you suspect you are in the midst of a wrongdoing, it is completely within your rights to record it, but stop from distributing it until you've sought advice about how to do that.
No, 100%. And I mean, there's this thing called Standing Order 156. Now, I see that the Right to Know campaign has a particular understanding of it and who, you know, it might refer to. Can you just briefly explain what is this order, Standing Order 156?
So Standing Order 156 says that an officer, there are three things to it, really. An officer cannot stop you from taking a photo or a video. He cannot seize or damage your equipment. And he cannot force you to delete that footage. So that's the standing order.
Yeah. And I mean, does that apply to everyone? Because I see that there's some confusion around, does that mean members of the media? Because obviously we know that, I don't know, if there's a protest happening or there's some police activity and Gershwell comes along as a journalist and, you know, takes a couple of photos or takes some video, that a policeman can't smash my camera and then beat me up and, you know, tell me to take a hike. You know, I should be able, unless, of course, I'm endangering someone or doing something particularly stupid, I should be able to go ahead and do that. But me as an ordinary citizen, I come across, I see a police scuffle, a policeman beating up someone, a third party that's unconnected to me. Can't they turn around and say Order 156 is specifically aimed at the media and you're not a member of the media as a private citizen, as an ordinary bloke that just happened to be there at the time?
Well, this is where the subtleties of the law comes in, unfortunately, because you are prohibited. You may photograph or video, but there are certain prohibitions on publishing photos of certain people without their permission, such as if there's someone suspected of doing a criminal offence, but who has not been charged, or it's a witness. And that, as a member of the public, you might not know when you are taking down that footage. So that's why I say you don't act in haste.
And but I guess that's part of the problem, is that a lot of our lives are living, are lived in that sort of digital space where, the first thing that we reach for is the phone and all too often not to call for backup or for assistance, but much rather to take a video or a series of photos that we're going to post on our social media inevitably. But I mean, as harmful as it is, and maybe as ugly as it is, it does serve a purpose whereby you can take this back, back to court and use it as evidence. I mean, what's the standing on that particular issue? Because I know the last time I did the law of evidence was way back in, I think, 2004. So by then we didn't have really awesome phones that could connect directly to the internet and you could put stuff on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and now you can. So what is the situation with that type of footage? Is it, can it be accepted as evidence in a court of law and court proceedings?
I think we've got to distinguish between two different things here.
Uh-huh.
This is Instagram, Twitter, and all of those avenues to expose things. When we get to the law of evidence and going to court, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
So certainly, as long as the author or photographer, videographer of that material is available to authenticate that footage, then that absolutely can be presented as evidence, and it will be subject to scrutiny and cross-examination, and it can be investigated and so on. That's a separate issue to simply randomly posting things.
I understand what you mean there. What I was just trying to say is that, all too often people just reach for the phone because it's almost automatic. We live through our phone, so to speak. And, we take footage and we take photos and goodness knows whatever else very quickly on those things. Before we even, do sometimes what's the little more responsible thing to do. The other thing that I just wanted to also then gauge with you while we're on this particular subject is that, I mean, I've seen some really horrible incidents involving police. I mean, from basic assaults. I don't know, Kirsty, what your experience has been, but I've seen my fair share of arrests and busts and so forth. And I don't know if South African police just have a heavy-handed approach to things in any event, or if that's how you do things when you're working in the police services sector. But I mean, I've seen some really heavy-handedness on behalf of our police. And I'm just concerned that we are going into a long weekend. And I'm thinking about this gentleman that got clapped up while getting, being shoved in the back of a police van. And what is the situation for me as ordinary Joe Public, Gershwell Brooks, that doesn't work for 702 and doesn't have the protection of the great name 702, as I'm driving home tonight and I don't know, I get pulled over and a bribe is being solicited and all kinds of silly questions are being asked about what am I doing out this time of the night?
Well, one thing I want to say is that in the overwhelming majority of cases, I think that our police services are doing an amazing job.
No, of course, of course.
Unfortunately, their successes don't get applauded as highly as their failures.
Mm.
So I don't think there should be any presumption of malfeasance on the part of someone pulling you over.
Mm.
So if you are being pulled over, you should cooperate, you should be calm, you must be respectful. I don't think you need to whip out your phone unless you think there's a real risk that something strange is going on. If you ask for details, you give them. If you are asked for your license, you give it. You equally have the right to ask for that officer's badge number, his details.
Mm-hmm.
Under what authority is he pulling you over? But in a respectful manner. I mean, let's not forget that these guys are doing us a civic duty. They're trying to keep our roads safe for us. We've got one of the highest, it's beyond me that in a country such as ours, we have one of the highest accident and fatality rates in the world.
Exactly.
Which is mad. So I think cooperation is the first call. But if you suspect that something untoward is happening, it's totally within your rights to request those details, such as the if you've been arrested, a warrant must be presented to you. You can request badge numbers. You can request all those details.
Yeah, no, indeed. And of course, and in terms of the conduct of the police when arresting someone, because, and I'll go again back to what you had to say there. And I mean, I completely and utterly agree with your initial point there, that the vast majority of police are civil servants that are merely doing their jobs, maintaining law and order and ensuring that you and I are safer, whether we're driving on the roads or, you know, we're sleeping at night in our homes. But unfortunately, we do have these incidents where, as I said, for example, and I think this is something that we speak to generally as well, another video that I saw via social media where this lady, I don't know what her crime was, and that's unfortunately the case with social media videos, is that you don't have too much context. But the one thing I don't need context for is the fact that she's partially exposed and being rough-handled by a male police officer whilst being, you know, being in a position whereby he's hurling abuse at her, albeit she's also being abusive at the time. But the question is, you know, the old cliche, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, surely under exactly. those circumstances, there was something untoward there.
No, that's completely untoward. And no person of either gender should be exposed to that kind of humiliation. And if you are required to be searched, you are the absolute right to be searched by a person of your own gender, mm-hmm. and in appropriate circumstances. So that's completely unacceptable.
No, for sure. And I mean, just give us the general sort of understanding of it, so that if, I don't know, and this actually happened once, and I'll give you an example to me personally, where we were walking through one of the major news agents, and my son just so happened, who was three at the moment, this happened a couple of months ago, where he decided that we needed a whole bunch of calculators and he started putting them into the trolley. And as we left the news agent, we didn't realize that there were about seven calculators stacked in the trolley. So obviously the alarms went off, and I should say everyone was very respectful about the whole process. But we know that that doesn't always happen, where we have seen incidents of an overreaction, or someone might have been caught shoplifting, but now this person is being humiliated by being forced to undress in front of people, and police are involved, security staff are involved. What are the rights of a person in that particular incident, despite the fact that they might have done wrong?
Well, you know, if you're confident enough to say, no, I'm not going to be inspected like this, please call a member of the South African Police Services, because I think in the context which you're discussing,
yeah.
it probably involved a private security agency or a private security guard.
Mm.
You're absolutely entitled to say, I'm going to stay exactly as I am, and please solicit the South African Police Services to come and investigate and question me fully. And strangely enough, this cotton bond, we had a call in to our firm just a week ago, where some poor lady was suspected of shoplifting, and she was forced to be stripped in the offices of this particular store, and not stripped to her underwear, but completely naked, which is completely unacceptable.
Again, another thing that we've noticed happening all too often is, you know, videos again of that nature of doing the rounds on social media, and all too often you'll find that it's disempowered people. It would be, you know, poor black women that, for example, have allegedly committed an act of shoplifting. But the issue is that I think that there is definitely something very undignified and a severe infringement of their right to dignity at the very minimum when you're forcing someone. When you take, you know, whether it be in an office, but, you know, you take a video of this person stripping down and taking out, I don't know, pieces of meat or clothing or whatever from their underwear, and, you know, you're posting the stuff on the social media. Despite the social media aspect, it's still very undignified doing that to someone.
No, it's completely undignified. And as I say, there are processes and procedures. And let's not forget, a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty. So there is a legitimate investigative process. What the security guard should do is solicit the police services to come, and a proper process will follow.
No, indeed. I mean, and, you know, while we're on this particular issue as well, there's another video that was doing the rounds recently of an old man suspected to be with someone for whatever purpose. Again, someone's right to privacy that I think was just infringed on. There just so happened to be someone kneeling or hiding in his bucky or his vehicle at the time. His video was also circulated on social media, and someone actually cautioned.
I'm familiar with that.
Exactly. And someone cautioned and said, but this is actually worrisome, because this year could also lead to further legal liability. So, Kirsty, I'm going to ask you just to ponder that one in the interim and get an answer from you on whether that was actually legal or not, because I have to take a quick break. And then we wrap up the conversation and just sort of extract the general principles, both in terms of what I'm as a private citizen am allowed to do with my camera and what I can use it for, versus the conduct of the police and making sure that everyone just basically behaves themselves. We're talking to Kirsty Haslam, who's the Managing Director at DSC Attorneys. 9 o'clock, we're wrapping up our conversation with Kirsty Haslam, who is the Managing Director at DSC Attorneys. So, Kirsty, before the break, you and I were I described that video to you and the fact that it was so circulated on social media. Whether the old man was getting up to something untoward or not is neither here nor there, but at least it's suggested by this video that it was doing the rounds. What are the legal rights involved in this particular instance?
Well, I think he has definitely a cause of action against the person who or persons who distributed that footage. And that's where we come back to the RICA, which we're all familiar with the acronym, but it's the Regulation of Interception of Communications and Provision of Communications-Related Information Act.
Mm.
The recording of footage is one thing, as I suggested to you earlier, but the distribution of it is quite another. And what disturbed me in particular about that footage, never mind the fact that I thought I was out of the country, and such is its distribution that I happened to see it pretty soon after it was distributed.
Wow.
What disturbed me even further was that short on the heels of that, that some person or persons had looked up this entire individual's history, being date of birth, full name, ID number, etc., and that too was distributed, which is, I mean, that's a flagrant contravention of our laws. I mean, you cannot do that.
And we see it so often. I mean, whether it be something innocuous like someone making a fool of themselves on Date My Family, all the way through from, you know, to situations like these where we don't even know what supposedly, had done wrong.
Well, the presumption was that he'd done wrong because of the circumstances in which he was found. But, you know, you've still got an absolute right to privacy that's guaranteed in our Constitution.
Mm.
So nothing else, no social media, no Facebook, no Twitter, Instagram, whatever, can ever trump that. So that's where I come back to what I was saying earlier. Yes, you might have a right to film footage because you suspect there's malfeasance or something inappropriate happening. But it's the distribution of it that is the problem. And there's no question in my mind that that particular gentleman's rights to privacy were infringed.
Mm-mm. No, I should say it, and it's again, it's one of those horrible situations whereby you do ask yourself, but what on earth are these people up to, and why are they doing these particular things? So, I mean, let's just look at a couple of things that, I mean, if there's sort of a very sort of quick, short, pointed bunch of stuff that you can outline in terms of what your rights are when it comes to police conduct towards you as a private individual, as we both agree that the vast majority of police, when conducting their searches, when doing whatever work that they're doing, do it in a good way, right?
Yes, exactly.
They do it, you know, without any form of malfeasance or whatever, or corruption or whatever in mind. But unfortunately,
you're
right. But there is also a high level of suspicion. People are fearful, and you don't want to be the one out of 1,000 or the one out of, a million. So what happens if people do get approached by the police? What are some of the fundamental basic rules that one can apply for your safety and the safety of that particular officer, just to keep in mind?
Well, I think the first thing is cooperate.
Mm.
Be respectful. Be respectful of the office that this person is holding. Lend your full cooperation. Give the reasonable details that are requested. Present your license. Present your vehicle's license. Cooperate. Don't whip out your cell phone, for example, if you're approached on a routine traffic block, because that's just it's going to agitate a situation that doesn't need agitating. So first and foremost, cooperate. Only if you suspect something strange is going on, then you can pursue other avenues. Then you can ask for, is there a warrant? Let me see under what authority you're doing this. And if you're in any doubt that there's something strange going on, you're within your rights, absolutely, to request respectfully to be taken to the nearest police station, to speak with the station commissioner. If that eventually doesn't yield the correct results, there are other avenues to pursue. You can go to IPED, which is the Independent Police Investigation Directorate, and that you can easily find on Google, the relevant contact details, if you really suspect that something wrong has gone on. But I think the presumption should be that these are officers here to protect us, and who are acting in our best interest and lend your cooperation.
Because I think that that's also part of the concern, is that in as much as you do have rights, there is no need to be cocky or rude about it. And I think that that's where we
exactly.
lose each other, because after all, these are human beings that you're dealing with. And I've also seen on the on that citizen level, on that ordinary folks level, we can get a bit cocky about our, you know, about the rights that we have, and we can assert them in quite a rude way, which can escalate a situation that was innocuous. Very, very quickly. I mean, last but not least, I mean, the one thing that I just also wanted to check with you is, I used the example of a couple of years ago, leaving old Melville, you know, strip of clubs and pubs and that type of thing, you know, student life and so forth. Police block off the road on either end. What they then do is that they, you know, sort of conduct a raid. Nothing particularly bad happens in the process. But what happens is that a couple of people obviously take out their phones and they start filming. This was before, you know, social media was a massive thing, but they start filming on their phones, and then these police, in a very sort of rude and obnoxious way, threaten that they're going to break people's phone, and they're not allowed to do that. Apart from that, it's also very often common for people to hear from police that it's illegal to take any video footage of a police officer conducting their work.
No, that's completely incorrect. If you're in a public space, you are absolutely entitled to take footage. As I just want to come back to it. I'm sorry to overemphasize it. It comes down to the distribution of it.
But
you are absolutely entitled within your own rights to take footage of... The police don't have any exemption on being photographed, etc., besides what I suggested earlier, which was relating to if someone is suspected of crime or is a witness, which you wouldn't know as you're taking the footage, which is why I caution people not to distribute it, because you may inadvertently then be committing a crime.
Kirsty, all the best to you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for a brilliant explanation on legal principles.
Thank you.
That was Kirsty Aslam, Managing Director at DSC Attorneys.